This is the Sexual Inclusion Network. With your host, Christiane Bella. Sin is in.
Hello, hello, hello. Greetings and salutations, beautiful people. I am Christiane Bella, and with me tonight is the one, the only, Dr. Martin Bella.
Or Mr. Christiane, as some people, some people refer to me as.
I love that, and I love that you own that so
I
well.
I like it.
So, tonight's episode is the last episode here on Log Talk Radio in just 3 short weeks, September 25th. I will be relocating to Voice America, so you can catch Intimacy Architecture on voiceamerica.com. We have had a very fun run on Blog Talk Radio, and for my last episode, I decided to bring in my darling king, my pet king, my husband, Martin, and I are going to talk about our life and our relationship and how we've really created an open life. We've used methods that we've learned of healthy communication and emotional intelligence, a lot of which came from exploring the world of non-monogamy and how we've brought that into our everyday lives and really created the open life and truly a life we have built that we love.
And I have to say, it's not a coincidence that I'm doing the last show. I told Christiane, you know, you have to warm it up for me. I'm not trailblazing for you. So, yeah.
Yeah,
this is it. The grand finale is that's when I come in.
The sweet spot, yes, at a great transitional moment, as you did in my life. You really, and each other's lives, really. So we have one of the most awesome marriage stories ever, I have to say. Every time we tell the story, people always like, they do the
Yeah. But I feel like it started even before we met, and I think it's part of the story, the fact that we were both married to other people at the same time, for the same amount of time, both for 10 years at the same time. Then we ended our marriages not knowing each other at all around the same time, and then we met. And that's where the people go, ooh, and we were roommates before we became lovers, before it became we became husband and wife. And there is brilliance to it that I didn't realize at the time, but it's definitely now that, like, if you live with somebody before you become romantic, you already know if you live well together on the dwelling basis, not the romantic sexual basis, but on the, I mean, there's a lot to co-dwelling.
Absolutely.
And to both of us, it's actually really important. I think not everybody is as invested in the nest as we are.
Yeah, and it's a combination of all things, of course, but the nesting is a really important part. I think back to my mother's generation. She was here visiting recently, and like the story she kept telling was how she and my dad did want to live together first, but everyone said, you can't do that. If you're good enough to live with, you're good enough to marry, and how every one of her and her sisters, she's one of 6, all got married right out of living in their parents' house. So they went right from their parents' house to being married and living with someone, and never got to know themselves, never got to, like, test out living with the partner to see if you really do vibe the way you think you vibe. And I think, yeah, it is such a great disservice, and I'm glad, you know, that is one of the things that has shifted over time, is that, you know,
the moral
normalizing,
of the story, absolutely live with someone before you marry them.
Absolutely.
And also have sex with them.
Yes. And, you know, and yeah, and while our nesting capabilities are amazing, I counsel many couples who maybe do live together well but have no sex life. And so we both came in as great transitional and pivotal parts in healing and helping each other evolve in our sex lives, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we initially met at his birthday party. I did not know him. I knew the person who was throwing what I just knew as a party. It was like, hey, we're having a party. I was new to town. I had only been here for like 6 months in Nashville. And so I was like, great. And I knew like four other people, and I took the four other people that I knew in the city to his birthday party. So I rolled into his party with this little entourage of my little posse I had. And
I didn't even know because it was my 37th. It was my 37th birthday party. And that was kind of, when I had been partying pretty hard for quite a while after my first marriage fell apart. You know, I had like a second childhood blowout period. So I was going out with a bang that night for sure. So I didn't even notice that like this crew of five people that I hadn't known rolled in and
but
went
we,
straight to the hospital.
We didn't weed, and that's how we ended up talking to you, and you were like, it's my birthday, and I was like, yeah, that's nice for you, like,
what do you have, weed?
And yeah, and I proceeded to go out at some point. I met somebody at his party, and went in the hot tub, and we, yeah, it was great. We had really, like, hot sex in the hot tub, and you were in the living room
yeah.
having sex with
someone else.
Yeah,
yeah. That's true.
On
that's true.
A whole list of
drugs
that we...
That most people don't even know exist. Yeah, it was wild. And, you know, and we did not connect at all, really.
No.
I mean, it was, you know, like some, you know, some lady...
But we
like
somehow became Facebook friends.
Yeah,
out of that.
But we did become
yeah.
Facebook friends. And then one morning, actually, it was the day after my ex finally took her stuff out of my house after months, you know. And that was a big energetic shift because, like, my ex's stuff left, you know, and with it a lot of energy. And I looked around my condo and I realized, you know, I don't really have much stuff. And I like living with people, you know, like obviously I'm not getting where, like I'm not ready to like get married right now. But I can have a roommate. Let's have a roommate. And I got really excited about it. It was one of those law of attraction moments where like you just feel it in your body, like that excitement and joy about like something coming, you know? And then I woke up, the next morning after that, and I had a bad habit of saying good morning to Facebook instead of, you know, my dog. Christiane was posting that she was looking for a room for about like $500 a month.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really need the money, but it was just like great, you know. The joy I remembered experiencing just seeing that ad, like not even thinking, like not even wondering like if it would work out or not. I just knew that it would be really great for whatever reason, you know. And then she moved in and she walks around naked and does like naked yoga on the balcony and is, you know, just like a very radiant person. So I started not just crushing, but like really just kind of feeling like it's going to be a great relationship right away. She, on the other hand,
well, I think first I want to touch on like, cause we just came from a spot where we were hanging out and having a conversation about how energetic frequencies affect like internet stuff. Cause it's all vibration and how, you know, so
mm-hmm.
I love that, you know, you're having this moment of like joy around having a roommate. And then the next time you like get into the internet wavy world, the first thing you see is my request looking for a room for rent.
Well, because, you know, because we've known each other for like way before that,
right,
in a different dimension,
right.
And the internet and technology and all these like large networks of data are actually a very efficient way for that fifth dimensional connection to happen.
Yeah. Because we've had some cool ass past lives. My favorite past life and the past life that I feel brought me to you was we were gay lovers in the war. I don't know if it was the Civil War. It was definitely a war on this land in this area. And we were
probably.
Yeah, and we were gay lovers.
Oh, revolutionary.
Then, yeah, maybe a revolutionary. And then that's recently,
like Hamilton. That's what we bought.
We bonded around.
This movie there, gay soldiers.
And then recently a healer told us about a past life that we had where he was like a plantation running. She said Saint Croix or
Saint Croix, like a Caribbean. So
yeah.
I was basically like a plantation. Well,
she said
I mean,
banana field, like some kind of banana field running.
Yeah, like a banana plantation, like a British-owned banana plantation, and I was like, but what's like, what was the person called that runs the plantation? It has like an infamous.
I don't know. I keep thinking of that movie, Life Itself, when he has the guy running the olive field. I don't remember what he calls it.
No, but he's an employee. He's not
right.
A slave.
Right.
When you run a slave-operated plantation, it has a name. The manager person has a name. It's not pretty. But I was one of those.
Anyways.
and she was one of the slaves, which is really interesting.
Because part of our dynamic coming together sexually was that my darling husband has a foot fetish,
sub.
And I have a dominatrix history. I was a professional. I still do enjoy experiencing the role of being a dominatrix. But yes, I find, you know, it's an amazing healing modality. And that was actually one of a conversation we had because I was very... to circle back around where your story initially left off, I was very like, do not fuck your roommate, right? Like, I have this kick-ass living situation. This guy's cool. Our dogs get along. Like, everything's great. And not only did our dogs get along, but they matched. He had a part pit bull, part boxer.
But
that
like
was
white
like,
and brown. Like
and
white.
With this white and brown, like, cream
pattern, yeah.
And brown pattern. And then I had a Chihuahua Terrier mixed with the exact same
but like
color
exact
scheme,
shade
like,
of brown and exact
similar
same off-white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. So we would go out and it was like this his and her matched set of dogs that people thought was just like adorable. And it was. It totally was. And blessings to Samantha and Doodles who are no longer with us and out
yeah.
in that energetic
they both
field.
Departed, yeah.
But yeah, so that was my thought. And then the turning point for me, well, there was a couple of them. Like we had this conversation on the balcony where I said, like, look, I am totally down to do some, like, you know, playing around. Like, I do professional, I've done foot fetish work. It was a big, you know, it was actually my stepping stone into the dominatrix.
Well, they're related.
And then, yeah, in that conversation, you're like, yeah, because I usually, if I play with someone, if I'm a dominatrix, in dominatrix role, I don't have sex, actually. It's not a sexual relationship. It is a very, like, sub-dom. It's a different... It's therapy
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, but,
and,
but I was
yeah.
actually, like, romantically, like,
right.
Like, just sexual right away, and then that also that kind of, like, got nested in like, a pretty standard situation where, like, it doesn't spill into dynamic as a couple, which that was an interesting time when I felt like I had a choice between like are they like really fulfilling this like pet fantasy or actually partner and like I like my choice was to be a partner if that's what it meant but you know but like just like when you let
right.
something go, it comes back around. So it actually ended up being both, and like kind of like really spectacular combination.
Yeah.
And then it actually kind of like ran its course almost.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it from my perspective, it seems to play a major
mm-hmm.
role. Like it's almost like you know, like the fantasy. The kinky fantasy it's not the engine of it which is
right.
which was good to know
mm-hmm.
you know because yeah like I just like I I always felt like we were going to create something together from that ad moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that point, I thought it would be, like, a great home, which is fucking home.
Oh, my God.
Like, home is
yeah.
kind of important, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of knew that. And then yeah, we also, like, created this marriage and business and container for transformation for both of us in this, like, really
yeah.
parallel way. We are open to having a child. So just, you know, like, pretty, like, I value some of that a lot more than the fantasy king fulfillment,
right.
which I'm not trivializing at all. Like,
yeah,
that's,
no.
It's
yeah.
very important to fulfill your kinky fantasies. Let me tell you, because
yeah.
like when they are unfulfilled and, you know, like caged, you know,
right.
they eat at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah, definitely allow yourself the space to go in and, you know, in a healthy way, and, you know, not to segue too much, but I think that is a vital thing that we're seeing right now in society, is that when we attempt to hinder and hide our sexuality, it comes out in the most, like, horrific ways.
Right.
And, you know, the importance of having these outlets. So, there was something I wanted to circle around. Oh, you were talking about, you know, the parallel of our lives. And I think that's an interesting point as far as our venture into co-creating this marriage from the beginning as a non-monogamous marriage. So one of our big parallels, as you mentioned before, was that we were both married for 10 years at the same time. Like, we got married pretty much around the same time, and we got divorced essentially around the same time. Spent like a little over a year or so on our own healing and process at the same time. And both of our marriages had the same transition where, like, you know, there was, you know, curiosity that led to saying, like, hey, let's try to open up this marriage. And then that dissolved. And ultimately that marriage, you know, for a lot of reasons, I think in both cases, that wasn't just about maybe not seeing eye to eye with the previous partner on non-monogamy, but just that revealing a lot of other things that were incompatibilities. And, you know, just giving permission to say, like, this isn't working, you know, this isn't my hell yes anymore.
Yeah. Well, I actually, I remember when Lisa and I were, it's funny that, like, when we really, were we really dissolved the marriage was this 1 year. We were roommates with this, like, 10 years young couple at this, like, stupid new apartment building in the Gulch, partying, you know. But I do remember this one night when she was in the bathroom getting ready, and just out of the blue said, "I could be happier."
Wow.
And I felt this, like, dread of this just doesn't sound good from the perspective.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, like,
you can't deny that.
Well,
like, you can't,
no,
keep,
I mean, like, it's
that.
You know, it's like, if you know it's true, then you just have to suck it up and do something about
right.
it. And, you know, but the fear of change is one of the most fundamental human fears. So I mean, I have compassion to myself at that point. But yeah, and we just proceeded to kind of, you know, blow it up. And by that, I mean, like, just, like, really question, like, what, you know, what are the actual parameters of, like, what one calls a relationship or, like, marriage, and, you know, just rethink all these terms. And then she was already in love with the person she ended up with. And I just, you know, and what she said about me is that, like, you want this thing, like, I know what it is, and I'm just not that, and I completely agree, you know, like, there was this thing that I wanted, and that thing was, well, actually, like, Rose showed it to me first,
mm.
because she was a feisty, yeah, like, like dominatrix. She had the foot fetish kind of language, you know. Towards the end of the first marriage, we had this night with her and another guy, kind of like a quaddy night, where, you know, we crisscrossed and she got to like see this thing that like was just really exciting me, like it was satisfying me to like a way deeper extent that she had ever seen. And you know, there were times afterwards when she had like no good days about that, but like
right.
that night, that compersion with the help of certain ingestibles, that when the compersion really happened, like we were just really happy, you know,
right.
That like there is this, you know, this quote unquote heaven, this like real joy,
yeah.
ultimate joy, and we just oh, like not a big deal. We just have to dismantle what we have now,
right?
But yeah, you know, like it works.
Yeah.
Like if something seems daunting, but there is something really exciting behind it, then it's probably worth doing the daunting work.
Absolutely. So I did not have the benefit of special lubrication in the emotional side of like processing a lot of this stuff. My ex had done Molly once in his life. He had a seizure, and so he would never ever do it again.
He had a seizure?
Yeah.
Must have been sketchy, Molly.
He said it wasn't because
like
he got it from ex fiance before me, who was a stripper, and she used to get really good drugs.
But it was like too tweaky, too.
And some people just don't, you
right,
know.
Right, right,
I mean, it's rare. So anyways, so he refused to do it, and I actually did not care for it because I naturally already kind of existed in this euphoric state, and I did not like that tweaky feeling, and
right.
so I didn't want a chance that it would be speedy. And so so we went through this, I mean, still using some buffers, but not with that, like, heart-opening serum.
Right, but, you know, but there is a rhythm to it if you experiment with stimulants for the purpose of opening, which a lot
right.
of people do, and it's really legit.
Oh, absolutely. It's been
huge. Then, you know, then, like,
you
have to realize that, you know, that the highs of the euphoria will be matched by the depths of how deeply you'll have to, like, process your existing life to like really see the difference, you know, like where you really like to be,
right.
And where you are normally, you know, because nobody can be on MDMA all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like you catch this amazing glimpse of what your life can be like, but then you have to like return to what your life is like, and then you have to go deep into, you know, possibly
right.
digging into like the
right.
fears and the you know, and the false beliefs
mm-hmm.
and the unhealed wounds that are actually causing your life to be what it is. So, you know, it's a brave journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, huge.
That I definitely had to go through. There's absolutely no way that my kind of like intellectually structured brain would have allowed me to like really consider the basics of the law of attraction and
yeah.
you know, and the infinity of love, and you know,
yeah.
like all these beliefs that I just would never,
because it's
questioned.
Not a logical part of ourselves.
Yeah,
it exists somewhere else.
Trust is not
yeah.
logical.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, for me, I always feel like I was operating in a non-monogamous world without healthy consent and boundaries and without a language. I just, you know, I cheated on every single person I ever dated except for one person who cheated on me. Irony, of course.
They never had a like,
no.
Like faithful or whatever.
So, and I realized so what happened, there was a lot of layers, like, you know, my ex and I like agreed to play at parties and different things, but like then, you know, there'd be all these like rules and the turning point for me, I'll never forget, we were like, at that point we were living in separate bedrooms, and he came into my bedroom and he was like, I will stick this out if you'll agree to be monogamous, but if you won't, then I'm leaving. And I was like, I can't. Like, I cannot agree to that anymore. I can't keep denying this part of myself that knows. And the irony, I think, too, is, like, any time that I've been in this totally open marriage where, I mean, our basic rules are, like, your yes is your yes, disclosure within 48 hours, no playing with rookies, and that needs to be defined based on the person and, like, a conversation.
But the general awareness that's, like, you know, if,
yeah.
if somebody is inexperienced, it's going to take bandwidth, it's going to take, it's a liability, you know.
Right.
So yeah.
A
so
lot of consideration around that.
Yeah,
and communication.
Around that, for sure.
Obviously, like, safer sex conversation stuff, and, I mean, that's essentially it, but, like, the root of it is that my yes is my yes, and in this place where I have ultimate freedom to do whatever I want, it's so funny, I think, when people think about, like, non-monogamy, and obviously, and that's the thing about it, is it's a create-your-own-adventure relationship. It's really, like, up to you to define it. It's a huge umbrella.
Huge, yeah.
But, you know, in our design system, it's not just the relationship. It's like in our entire lives, we have created in this, like, follow your yes
right.
mentality that has yielded. I mean, we live in a gorgeous home. If you're watching this on video, like, you know, you can see the beautiful piano behind me. We're in, you know, my darling husband's studio. Our living room is my yoga space. We have a gorgeous balcony with a view of, like, you know, the heart of Nashville.
The nice part of Nashville.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fantastic. And, like, and we spent our day, we worked, I mean, I think I worked for, like, probably 3 or 4 hours I worked. And then I got acupuncture. We hung by the pool and sunned. And then we went and, like, had a fabulous dinner and now, you know, and chilled at this local CBD bar.
CBD
and
bar.
Then here we are with you. Like, we got paid all day. Like, he literally got paid
not to
work today. This is our life. Like, we, you know, and it is because we didn't restrict parts of ourselves. And, like, we finally owned, like, this is my truth. This is my desire.
One interesting how in my first marriage, my story throughout the whole entire marriage that I was unsuccessful
mm-hmm.
what I was doing. The truth was that I was actually, like, really successful at a lot of things, but, you know, at any given time I had some kind of an ambition that was being unsatisfied. So by that token, I always, you know, felt mm-hmm. like I was failing. And I also, you know, and I'm a creative professional, right? So that's a very, you know, second chakra. Area. And I had this, you know, and I, like, a really had a strong desire for, like, this very specific kinky sex life profile or aspect that I was not getting. And you really can't separate the two, you know, because when one got healed, the other, you know, the simple switch of mindset is that sure, at any given time there may be something I want to happen that's not happening, but that's kind of like what I'm going towards it, and goals
right.
change, like what is, like, give me a break, because I got there, you know, like I somehow attracted a partner who shares who equal joy is to play like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah, everything else falls to pieces when you're just really happy on that very, like, physical animal human
yeah.
way.
And that really is, like, that, you know, we were talking earlier about how I feel like there's this quadrant, there's, like, trust, sex, communication, and yourself. And obviously, like, any good relationship starts with yourself, and then you create trust in other relationships, and you have communication, and, like, your, you know, that falls, I think, also within, like, the cohabitation and this kind of overall sense of, like, community stuff. But then sex energy, which is creative energy, which is play energy. I mean, you know, if you think about at its very root, and that's what I think when you have the best sex is you allow it to be playful and fun, and explorative and curious and in this state of like discovery and wonder and trying things, you know, to see like, okay, well, maybe it sounded good in my head, but in reality it might not work.
Right. Well, and be able to like, I was like before Christiana, I was so like concerned about because I lived in the scarcity realm, you know, like I kind of like was like I felt shorted on some, you know,
right,
something I wanted. Well, then, you know, then the moments of sexual connection were rare,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the last thing I wanted to do was to experiment and possibly ruin one of the scariest moments, which, like, created this, like, very serious attitude around sex, because, like not willing to, not being willing to experiment, the scarcity makes you narrow your choices, and just kind of like try to make sure that you go for the proven outcome.
Mm-hmm. And when you have goal oriented sex, it's a killer.
Yeah.
It absolutely is, like, you know, so yeah, that's the thing. You know, that ultimately at its root is the, you know, on so many levels when we talk about tantra or raising the kundalini, it's this all encompassing. And so the minute we start to think that, yeah, there's this scarcity energy around our creativity, our play, our sensuality, and, you know, we start withholding or we start just coveting and almost like hoarding those moments in an unhealthy way, that you know, like anything else, it, you know, it will seep into other areas of your life. It will make you question, you know, where else is there a shortage, and like anything else, you know, we create that.
And then the lack of shortage, and it usually is going to spill onto other areas of life. You know, it makes you like, you know, don't have time, or
right.
you make you like a lot of people feel like they don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we are in the most like absurd. Like the other day, my assistant was here, and she was like, "Hey, like, you know, is it possible to like get paid in cash today?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I like, flitted around my house like a little fairy because I stashed cash. around like crystals and stuff to magnetize more money. And so I like flipped around and went under all my crystals, and I like was like, "Here's $160." Like, she was like, and I'm like, it doesn't like, I, yeah, it's crazy. I went from bankrupt. My ex-husband and I literally, and ex-wife and you too, there's another crazy here.
Yeah.
We both of our, like, we literally claimed bankruptcy in our marriages. I mean, oh my God.
The lack of financial health in my first marriage was just like another manifestation of just the lack of health. I even had this, and I knew that my situation was dire, you know, like this was not good. You know, like, you really can live an unhappy life. Like, it's one of our choices as humans,
right.
You know, and I was doing it. And I didn't have much vocabulary around, you know, creating your own experience.
Yeah.
And I had this dream that was very powerful. It took place in front of a church that my father had been to, and it wasn't like a normal like tour church. It was like
right.
There's like some like crazy catacombs of the monks from like way back, and he went on some like student tour and he saw it, which is not common, and I didn't know that until that dream actually, but in the dream, outside of that little church, there was a crowd of these these like women stricken by a plague. Like they were they were sick, you know, and they were wearing these rags and they were scary and they were like contagious, and they each had a rock and a stick and they were like banging
loudly,
like hundreds of them. And my wife and I were there, and they were just like all around, and they kind of like. And I remember like when the doom was inevitable, I looked up to the sky, and the sky became this like cartoon, two dimensional thing, and it closed. Like it got dark. You know, so I was like,
right.
like this, you know, and I woke, woke up in the, you know, and like, cold sweat and shaking, and for about a week afterwards, I thought I had a seizure in my dream.
Yeah.
Because it was like this, you're dead, kind of feeling, just like very palpable,
yeah.
very electric.
Yeah.
But you know, what I really saw. Oh, and I had this like chronic pelvic pain.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, because the body always gives
yeah.
us physical.
Which you know, like I was like, I you know, I thought I had cancer in there or something. And I was just like feeling.
And,
like,
and
so,
you really?
Yeah, well, yeah,
yeah,
the energetic,
right.
yeah, like malignancy.
Right.
So dream really showed, like it was like it showed me my literal because it's like you know like really bad ideas.
Right.
But you can feel like you're dying. It's like your gut
yeah.
is inflamed in a horrible way. So it showed me my gut. It showed me my reproductive kind of stuff, like not functioning well. And then it showed me my creative, you know, this like lack of success, this like this story that whatever I try to do fails.
Yeah.
And that like my talent is not being utilized. It was all one thing. And I stayed in that marriage for another 3 years after that.
Wow.
Which I think you also stayed in yours
I
for
did.
About that time after
yeah.
like a big. So what
a
was
big,
your pivotal, big pivotal moment?
Oh, okay. Well, on one of the biggest things I remember, which made me realize like I truly am non-monogamous or polyamorous. Like so. My ex-husband was an alcoholic, and one night I'm sleeping in bed, and so he always worked late nights, and we had totally different schedules, so I was very used to him, like, coming into our bedroom at, you know, like, 3 in the morning or whatever, and so that happens, and he's getting condoms, though, like, we used condoms, and he was, like, getting condoms out of, like, this our nightstand, and I'm like, babe, I'm not having sex right now, like, you know. And he didn't say anything, and I just kind of, like, rolled over and went to sleep. And then I don't even know how long later, I, like, hear something. I, like, get up, and I was like, what is that sound? And I go out in my living room, and he's going down on some, like, random girl he, like, took home from a bar with a friend of his. They went out and got drunk. And so this girl is, like, sucking the friend's cock, and my ex is going down on her. And I was, like, pull him by the hair, and I was like, this is not happening. Like, you guys need to, like, wrap up here. And, like this needs to end. Because at that point, we did not have, like, I had had a connection with someone, and it caused a huge fight. Because I, you know, because, like I said, we had played at parties. So under the party umbrella, which I didn't realize was, because we never actually had an agreement, which is, like, such an important thing. You are out there listening, and you want to, key number one, you're thinking of opening a relationship tip, make an agreement. So I was operating under assumption, which is
not an agreement.
It
starts with an A, but not an agreement.
And so I thought, like, okay, well, he's seen me give someone a blowjob at a party. So, like, I went to a party without him, so I thought, like, oh, it'll be fine if I give this person a blowjob, because and so he was livid. He was, like, livid. And so that actually just made my teenage rebellious part come out. And, like, I was, like, meeting this guy and, like, lying and saying I was someplace else. And so then we were like, okay, well, we're monogamous. Like, we're not going to play at parties anymore. And we're not going to do. And I was so unhappy and so frustrated and felt so stifled. And then this happened, you know. And so I actually, well, what's crazy is, like, I wasn't mad that he was going down. That's when I realized. I was like, I'm not upset.
You were just mad about breaking the agreement.
I was mad that, well, I was mad, one, that, you know, I felt like someone would stifle the thing that I wanted to do
and then proceed to do it
in a very unhealthy way. And then, yeah, and that, you know, and then the hypocrisy of, like, breaking an agreement like that, I felt was forced upon me.
Right.
Because, you know, like, we could have, like, you could have, you know, here I was like, man,
it could
like,
have been allowed.
Totally been, yeah, totally been cool. So,
but it's not,
so that
you
was,
made it not cool, yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, those two kind of factors of, like, yeah, my, you know, really wanting to connect and this, the living room moment. We're like, and then, yeah, and then we stayed together and kind of like tried to find ways, and we did go to counseling. We did get some support from a lot of wonderful, wonderful friends that I'm, you know, eternally grateful to. And then we tried my way, which is pretty much like what you and I, you know, my dream vision, which was this like honoring that like your yes is your yes and like, you know, everything. We tried it for like a month. And the first 2 weeks were phenomenal, and then it all just really showed that, like, that wasn't the issue. It wasn't that I am a non-monogamous person, and this was a monogamous person. Like, yes, that was an actor, but, like, the truth was there was a lot of other reasons why. So even though for, like, a couple weeks there was, like, this Gloria moment where I was like, oh, we can, like, make this marriage work, and then it was like, no, actually, this person wants all these other things, and you know. So that's why through intimacy architecture, you can see, you know, that's a thing I do with couples is, like, what is your ideal partner? Because you can love someone, but they may not be your ideal partner, and your ideal partner, if you choose to have a partner and that is your life path, not having the ideal partner at this cycle. And so I want to also preface that. Like, I think my ex-husband was a very important part of a cycle in my life that I couldn't have, you know, and I think that's a big thing is a lot of us were like this forever and eternal love concept that we're sold on that just really isn't inherently true. I don't have the same friends that I had in elementary school or junior high or high school that I have now. Every, like, 7 years or so, I would say the people in my life kind of cycle and change. Some people obviously extend far beyond that, but for the most part, we have periods in which we're supposed to show up, and marriage isn't always an eternal and forever. So
yeah, well, like you, in a way, you know, if you really trust that relationships unfold the way they're supposed to, you can never tell how long or deep a relationship should be or is going to be. You know, and it's really useful to not have any like prescribed expectations and definitely the traditional marriage model, like that's like romanticized forever, like kind of some kind of non-negotiable force is binding you together. It's an obstacle in keeping track of like where this relationship wants to go, you know, what is it really doing? Because there's a huge spectrum of what role a relationship of any sort can have in your life.
Absolutely. And I think one of the keys to not only our relationship, but our life is we consciously choose. Like in our marriage vows, we noted not happily ever or what forever and ever or till death do us part. I forget what the traditional shit is, but we're like, I am going to choose you, and this is for as long as we choose each other.
Right.
Every day we not only decide to choose each other, but whatever other choices were, you know, that's kind of part of the following your yes, you know, is that, yeah, like, you know, I'm saying yes to this relationship. I'm saying yes to myself. I'm saying yes to whatever business things. I just really trust my intuition and my instinct and, you know, follow that guidance. Mm-hmm. So we have about 15 minutes left. I did not such a great job of marketing this particular episode because it was the last episode on Blog Talk Radio. So I don't know that there's anyone calling in, but in case you are someone who's listening and want to call in, you can at 319-527-6205. And yes, in a couple weeks when we're on Voice America, that will also be a call-in show, and I'll be so happy to take your questions and hear your stories. So in our last few minutes, what would you say is your biggest, if you were to give someone based on like what you've learned in our super awesome co-creative relationship, advice on how to create their own super awesome open life of love, what would be your takeaway tip for someone?
Well, oof, man, I'll say like one word, one takeaway word would be listen, you know, listen. Listen to yourself and listen to your reactions to thoughts and ideas, you know, what would give you joy. And then be... and then don't feel like there are any non-negotiable obstacles to following that dream.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
Well, yeah. That's what I do.
You are. I did. I you know, I called this in, and it's so funny. So we have time for this one more great story. Okay, so the turning point then, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna like date my roommate, right? He and I go see Idina Menzel, and we have this gorgeous, like, what was supposed to be just hanging out turns into this beautiful date night, and we're walking over this bridge, and it's like super romantic. I have a friend of mine come to say he's a snorer, so I'm like, oh, I can't sleep in the same room with this person. So then he's like, oh, you could sleep in my room. Funnily enough, the same party where we met at for your birthday was a place where we went back to. And so at this time, he has this friend who I think is hot, who keeps coming over. So I start fucking his friend, and three of us go to a party where... which is where he and I met. It's the same house, just a different party,
like
months later.
Yeah, like 3 months later.
And that was the first time you and I had sex.
Right.
And then...
Because he... Well, it was supposed to be the threesome, but then
he got drunk.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why I broke up with him, because I was like, nope, I have a boundary. I don't date alcoholics. Like, my ex-husband was alcoholic. I don't date alcoholics. So, so funny. The world is so funny. One of the big turning points then was like this moment when he actually came to church with my aunt and I, and I thought that was like so cool. That to me was like part of the nesting, was like, okay, you know, it's like, so we can live together, and like but you know, how do you roll with like being like deeper in my world? And you totally did, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I was interested in. Like I had already shown myself that that, like, you know, the party town is temporary, you know. I feel like people you know, a lot of people need to experiment to find parts of themselves that they hadn't been allowing to come forward. But you just, you know, just like really want to always make sure that there's still that purpose.
Right.
And, you know, and I was like, yeah, I mean, like I know I'm a cool person. Like, I don't have to not go to church with girlfriend's family, you know, to prove it.
Yeah, and so, yeah, just the ability to show up, you know, I think that's a big thing, is that I'm a multifaceted person, and I show up in a lot of different ways because I do honor my truth and I do honor my boundaries. So I know anything I'm saying yes to, I really want to be there. And it's lovely when, you know, someone else is like, yeah, like I'm, you know, I'm doing this because I really want to be here, not because I'm like guilted into it, and not because, or I'm not saying no because I'm like too cool, you know, like you really, I saw in that moment that you honored your truth and you would be real with me about what you wanted to do or what you didn't want to do. And yeah, and we really have co-created this amazing life, including this incredible cabaret show that we did for years where we got to like sing and dance and play, and like I got to strip, and there's actually there's a picture on our counter that a photographer took at one of our very first shows where we had a whole routine worked out where I blindfolded him, tied up, had one arm behind his back, and he continued to play and sing a song while I spanked him on the back with a paddle. And there's this great picture of me about to like hit him with the arm
well,
tied
like
behind
tied
him.
Up,
yeah.
And, like, blindfolded.
Playing the piano, and I was homeschooling this kid, and he like came in and he's like, "Are you about to like beat him? Like, what's happening?" I was like,
"It's
theater."
He's about to stab me.
That's right.
Like,
he's like, "Are you about
to?" It's not clear
stab.
That the paddle is a paddle, so it's her arm in the air.
Yeah, that was so funny. And I'm like, "It's theater." But yeah, I mean, it was one. And you know, I think it's just so important, again, to not deny parts of ourselves and to be really honest about all the things that create joy in our life. And, you know, sex is definitely one of them. Like, your home is absolutely one of them. Obviously, ultimately, yourself is the key piece. And I think that was a big piece for both of us, is that we did take this time. We took this time after our marriage to, like, go and, like, play and, figure out. And explore. So we've got a little over 5 minutes left. I would say, is that enough time to tap in on, you know, our adventures in open relationship have not been without challenges. You know, we've definitely had challenges. And so I think it's so important, especially, you know, I think I was sharing this with somebody the other day who came to like check in with me about stuff that was going on with their relationship. And I would say, like, one of my biggest mistakes in non-monogamy or polyamory was thinking, like, I'm so good at poly, or, like, I should not be bothered by this because I need to, like, prove I'm good at poly and not being bothered by something that was happening. And so one of our biggest, like, glitch moments that we ever experienced was definitely on my part, being like, oh, I shouldn't be bothered that, you know, my husband's like having feelings for this woman, and I shouldn't be bothered like that this woman, you know, because like he said, I walk around my house naked all the time. I don't make anyone feel ashamed about their bodies. This is a space where like nudity does not equal sexuality. And so, you know, it was interesting to find myself in moments where I was like, oh, triggered that like some girl was walking around my house like half naked or something. And just not being honest about that, because I thought like, oh, I'm supposed to be really good at this, so I have to like power through whatever jealousy or insecurities or things were coming up, instead of being, you know, real about it. And so I think it's so important to be really honest, because we actually had moments where we were like, hey, we actually do need to have time where it is just us. And I think that's the beauty, again, of, like, you know, choose your adventure, create your relationship, create your reality.
Yeah, it's a spectrum. Like the, and it's really interesting that we need, then as humans, we need a structure, and we need to understand that it's good. Like, we need something to hold on to, you know, these agreements, or, like, the description of the constitution of how it works. And we also, and you know, and honestly, like the United States legal system is a pretty beautiful example of that, because yes, there are these laws, and they change all the time, and they change from place to place, because it's a living, breathing thing, you know, like what we call our structures. And so and there could be this whole ritual about it, you know, like we could actually, I know that like we occasionally go over our poly agreements, but you know, maybe it doesn't have to be a chore. Maybe that could be one of these things that we look forward to every 3 months or something like the, you know, because it could be, you know, we tend to think about rules as limitations, you know, but like if you think about rules as the blueprints of something beautiful, as not as limitation, but as a description of like what is it, like what it is, you know, that like, you know, if you say like, you know, if you're like negotiating poly agreements, you know, and one of the rules one of our rules is the disclosure within 24 hours if something intimate happens. You know, obviously you can say anything is vague, but that's like pretty solid. You know, so you could see it both ways. You could see it like, shit, now like when I hook up with somebody, I have to tell her. Or you can think about it like, we think about like your own sense of like, I know like what energy is invested in my like love sphere, or if there's something that I don't know that I'll know within a day, like, you know, like I like this is how solid and transparent my life is. Then, you know, then becomes more of a creative rather than restrictive exercise.
Yeah, you get to share. You know, it's like, instead of feeling like I have to do, it's like I get to like.
Well, and you know, and then honestly, and that was like that was the, in our glitch. The my part was that, I didn't think that there was that. I didn't believe that, because I was excited about Hannah, you know, like it was, you know, we were creating something that I really liked, but I didn't believe that sharing this with you can be joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't believe, I couldn't picture me saying, hey, I'm like really, you know, really crushing on this girl, and like the music is amazing, and you know, and she's attractive in this like particular way that I like, you know, I couldn't imagine saying it, seeing you like smile, and you know, like what I imagined was like you being pissed off about it, because that's how, you know, that's what I was taught my whole life. And and that's why like I was kind of reluctant to share some things, you know, and even though like the chronology of the events is like, it doesn't matter. The truth was that like there were aspects of it I wasn't comfortable sharing, you know, and the whole and in that way it was an open behavior. Like I was closing.
Right.
I was closing, you know, I was like you should probably not see that part because you're gonna get jealous, you know. Like I just didn't have it in me at that time to be fully open, you know, because like my conditioning was still powerful, and you know, it's like kind of my first time in that particular capacity. So that, you know, it led to upset and a crisis, you know, that we had to heal. But man, like, you know, things like that are worth going through, you know, because
right.
You're just gonna right now the advice I can give somebody if they come to me is very tangible, you know. I can that was like a 4 minute
session,
right? Like, that's pretty good. You know, I have it now, and had I not gone through this huge fucking drama. Huge drama, and both our dads died 2 weeks apart to cap off like the parallel story.
Like,
while all that was happening. So trust me, like we, you know, it was a loop-de-loop. But, you know, but we're like real badasses at this right now. And it wouldn't have happened without some loop-de-loop.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think everything has been a gift. We've been so blessed with our challenges and our support and the ability to like dive in and be like, okay, what is my role in this? Like, what part did I play in co-creating this? And I think that's the biggest thing when you talk about an open relationship is, you know, this transparency of self, and that really goes deep into doing a lot of conditioning work, because we are conditioned to think that like your partner is going to get angry and it's something wrong and it's something you have to hide and, you know, and that you're not supposed to have sexual connection or loving romantic feelings about more than one person. And all of these things cause us to actually exude behaviors that then, because they're not trusting behaviors, they're that like scarcity.
Yeah, it feels shady.
Then, yeah, so then naturally, like, you know, the person you're reflecting that to's response is going to be like suspicious and controlling and fearful.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
no, I mean, it's
gonna,
all like,
yeah.
It's just like mirror facing a mirror.
But yeah, so like, you know, a couple weeks ago, though, when like I interviewed my boyfriend on the show and like, you know, my darling husband, you know, Adam and I were talking about this, like we're in the bed, snuggled up, recording the radio show, talking about like how cool it's going to be that my husband is going to walk in the door and like hang out and do his own thing, you know, because there is just so much openness and transparency. And so there is just this love and this freedom and this trust ultimately that allows you, you know, you trust in yourself that, again, that scarcity thing, like it really, you know, you got to heal a lot of abandonment fucking stuff
to show up
in this space for sure.
Yeah, just, you know, but you know, but there is, you know, but there is such a thing as being good at it, and like you're really good at it. Like what when you like somebody, it like really, like it. It doesn't feel, I don't feel the deficit of attention, you know, like there's no lack that goes with it, there's just more,
right.
And it's a, you know, it's a energetic skill, it's a skill of managing energy that I, you know, I definitely haven't seen a lot of examples of, you know, and it's just like hard to conceive, you know, but it's really it's there, it's a thing, it's possible.
It is possible and it is beautiful, and I highly recommend you give it a try if it sounds appealing to you and it sparks your joy, you know. That is, I think, the ultimate message I have is, you know, truly follow your joy and be aware if you are denying or cutting off parts of yourself, because it is going to clog everything at one point or another. And so the key really is to just find a healthy way to honor and trust yourself and all of your passions and desires, because that is how you light up the world and light up your life. And your honest, truest self will attract to you the people, you know, that is, so we have a mantra prayer thing that we do. We've been doing it for
like
years.
Like a proclamation. Morning proclamation.
And it evolves, like we change it all the time. It slightly tweaks usually every, you know, seasonally or so. And so right now a big piece of it is that we are vessels for trust that move forth with an uplifting tribe, and together we connect to love source. And that is the reality of our life. And
you know, it always is, but because, you know, because like if somebody is like plowing through some like crazy toxic shit, then, you know, then they are doing like ultimately productive work. You know, somebody is learning from it, and, you know, like that's good. But you know. But we do have the power to choose for this to be kind of fun and kind of kind of pleasant and full of joy and and health and clarity, and it just does as well.
I mean, I think it does even better
personally.
Well,
you know, like, I'm not here to compare.
But at least as well at best. Because, yes, it is a dynamic and diverse and beautiful world that is, you know, a duality, and all things exist. And so you get to choose. And I am so glad to have chosen you.
Yes.
I love you. Thank you for choosing
Thank
me.
You.
And I'm so grateful to all of you for choosing to listen to Blog Talk Radio. It has been an amazing run. I'm so grateful to have gotten my start here with Intimacy Architecture Radio. And I am delighted to have you all listen and join us as we begin on September 25th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on voiceamerica.com. I am Christy Ambella. This has been Intimacy Architecture Radio with my amazing guest, Dr. Martin Bella, the one, the only, and I'm so grateful. I love you, and I love you all for listening. Good night, everyone.
Good night.